will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Corbin is going to give us an invocation or an inspiration.
Oh, here we go. I guess I'm going to go on the inspirational route this morning. A lot of times you sit and listen to the press, everything that's going on, and I've always heard something that's easy to edit and hard to author. So we tend to like to critique and sit back and judge those who are out there doing. And being a soldier, this is a quote I've always liked. It's called "The Man in the Arena," and it was from Theodore Roosevelt. "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marked by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat."
Thank you. Please be seated.
Love
them. I'd like to thank our greeters today, Jeff Blake and Andrew Rummerdahl. Thanks, gentlemen. And now, Memphis, would you like to introduce our visiting Rotarians and guests?
All right, fellow Rotarians, let's give a warm welcome to visiting Rotarians from Anchorage Downtown Rotary in Classification Counseling Rehabilitation. Is John Fischer. From Anchorage Health Rotary, consultant to marketing, Chuck Becker.
Hey, Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
That's all.
Thank you, Mendes. I'd like to introduce our head table. On my far, 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 far left is Maxine Froman. Next to Maxine is Andrew Rummerdahl, Corbin Sawyer, our guest speaker today, Norman Ragazzi, and none other than our radio man, Rick Goodfellow. Please give a warm round for our head table. Before I let Diane Louise loose, I want to... One second. Could Don Gerwood come up here, please? Don is here today with his other hat on, and that would be representing the Mary Magdalene Center. So, Don, I'd like to give you this check for the center for $5,560.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to say that my wife, president of the board, and for all of the members of the Mary Magdalene, there, thank you so much. What Mary Magdalene Home Alaska does is helps reform prostitutes. And so they recently bought a house, and so the ladies are living there and transitioning back to life in the real world. And again, thank you very much, all of you, for them.
Where did that money come from?
That money came from the poker tournaments. Okay, Diana, you are always.
The woods are on a star. Carry moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are. Let's listen to Diana.
President Jeff and fellow Rotarians, my name is Diana Struck. And I have a happy dollar because our Putney's family is here and getting integrated into the community. There are four members. The father is Amber. The mother is Bim. And the 10-year-old son is Nar. And the 8-year-old daughter is Manisha. They have learned to use the laundromat. And their kids are getting enrolled in school this week. And hopefully you will have opportunities to meet them at the barbecue next Saturday. So look forward to you doing that. And if you're interested in assisting in any way, please see myself or Sandra Witt. Thank you.
And Joyful Heart Cancer.
Thank you, Dr. Namar. Diane, President Jeff, my name is Sue Foley. I have the wonderful pleasure of being your International Service Chair this year. And next, please work myself. I have two guests today. One really needs no introduction, and that's Ian Shepherd, President of the Rotaract Club. Ian and the Rotaract Club is participating on Uncovering International Projects with us, and so it's really my pleasure to have him as our guest. My other guest, which I spoke briefly about last week, is an applicant for Food Study Exchange team member to Finland. Her name is Colleen Silveray, and she is the Principal and Executive Director of Rennan Company.
Welcome, Ian and Colleen. There's a place here I don't recognize.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, I'm Kathleen Madden, and I have a guest here today. You know, the Internet's a wonderful thing. You go to Rotary.org if you want to learn about Rotary, and you can find a Rotary Club, even if you're not a member yet. So we have Craig Phillips. He's Vice President of Consulting Services with the Signature Group, and he's interested in finding a Rotary Club in Anchorage. So let's make him really welcome. And then I have three happy butts. I don't know if Dentist is going to give one today or not. But this past weekend, for 5 days, we got on a bus, Dentist and I and Brianna and Brandy, who were our two students that we sponsored to Rotary Youth Leadership Awards, otherwise known as RILA. It was in Whitehorse this year, and we got a 16-hour bus ride on Wednesday and a 16-hour bus ride back on Sunday. Absolutely wonderful weather, but I'm going to tell you that this program is one of the best-kept secrets, I think, in Rotary, and we're hoping to get the two girls to come and talk to us about their experience. It was a really cool experience, and Dentist was just amazing. He really bonded with all those kids, so maybe he'll tell a little bit about it. This might be happy bucks.
Thank you, and welcome. You have found the happiest and most serviceful Rotary Club in Anchorage.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, my name is John Tezada. We'll be out at the Village Inn restaurant 5:30 tonight with trash bags for our walk up and down Northern Lights Boulevard. Please join us. I think I've had 6 to 8 folks already RSVP. I'm 5:30, and I think it's looking pretty light, so hopefully we'll be done in a couple hours. Thank you.
John, is there a prize for the most unique item found on the ground?
Yeah, you know, I'll come up with a prize. I'll make sure. Maybe I'll even plant the item.
There you go.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, Michelle Tabler, and I've got two happy bucks because I'm sitting next to someone that just got a huge promotion this morning. At the casting cook, and I'll let her say it because she wouldn't say it herself. So,
well, thank you. I actually have something to say, but my promotion is vice president, which is pretty awesome there. And thank you. And I don't mind saying this. I wish Wally was here today because I could say this to him. I think it's a little reach. You know, it's always been run by men there, so I'm going to be proud to say I'm the first female, so ladies.
Well, now it'll be run right, Rochelle.
Also, Dave asked me to make this announcement today about the picnic, so I just wanted to let everybody know the barbecue is May 16th. It's really fun. It was the first event that I actually went to when I joined Rotary. It's so much fun if you get a chance to go. And make sure that, you know, you sign up. The sign-up sheets are on the table. They look like this. The other one you get to take home if you want to, if you need a reminder. The Captain Cook is providing their very famous smoked German potato salad, which is usually only served in the crow's nest and actually goes really well with scotch for you scotch drinkers out there. The second thing I wanted to bring up is, and I did ask permission to do this from Dave, is I'm the social chair for the next year. And one of the things that came out in the newspaper many, many times is the tickets to the Lion King. And one of the things we want to do next year is have people attend social events that we don't actually have to create or put on, some of those events. So if you purchase 20 tickets all at once, and there's more than 20 members here, we can all go to the Lion King together if we want to. I mean, if you're, I'm sure many of you have kids and you want to take your kids as well. But if you want to do that, and we can purchase and have kids too, and then we thought we would all meet out for dinner either before or after that event. And we can choose that place. So if anybody's interested, please let me know. Email me or call me so that I can buy tickets. And then we can choose a night as well so that we can all just go out and have a really great time.
President Jeff and fellow Rotarians, I'm Kate Troll, and I kind of have some happy, sad dollars. This is my last meeting with you folks. No, it isn't. I was there for the April Fool's. This is for real. I am moving back down to Juneau, driving Sunday, starting Saturday. And I just want to let you know, this is the great club to join. It's really fun. I had more fun here than I ever thought I would. I mean, where else do you get to witness Kevin selling or pushing one more head of lettuce onto somebody who has five heads of lettuce already, you know? It's awesome, and the camaraderie at the food bank was a highlight. I really enjoyed that, and I'm leaving my position on Friday, and those who want to know how I'm going to dare greatly next, see me afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you. You will be next. And with now, to introduce our guest,
President Jeff and fellow Rotarians, I'm John Dicer from Antique Downtown. I'd like to introduce our Korean group study exchange team. There's a lot of good, well-kept secrets on Rotary projects, and Riley is one of them, and so is group study exchange. We have our team from Korea, and our team leader is Nakwon Kim. And you know, on the team, Mr. Kim is a Rotarian. And we have Dong Lim Kim, Chung Nang Choi, Yil Ju Choi, and Jong Jin Kwan. This is our group study exchange team. They'll be in Anchorage until tomorrow, and they're going up to the district conference, and I hope all of you, if you don't have your reservations yet, if you go up there and you'll have a chance to meet them and learn more about wonderful Korean visitors. If you can't go to Korea, we brought Koreans here to bring Korean to you. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us. And yeah, very honored to be here with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am President Jeff, fellow Rotarians. I'm Woody Angst with some happy news to share with you. Giannis Bloom was released from the hospital Monday. He is at home and recovering from his heart attack and medical problems. He does go in regularly, I don't know if it's daily, but several times a week anyway, to follow up with his doctors and for some therapy. He is on an infinitely short leash for the next 6 weeks. He's not allowed to do anything, no driving, no activities, giving all the sutures a chance to heal and be removed, get the strength back in that body of his. So let's continue to keep Giannis and his family in our prayers. The other good news is that his son Douglas, who is our son now and our exchange student outbound to Switzerland in August, received the pack of information from the travel agency, so he is working on finalizing his ticketing arrangements, making the application for his visa to Switzerland. Terry Treadwell has been appointed a member of our Youth Exchange Committee, as you know, working with R.C. Woodson. Terry is going to be working with Douglas and his family closely now as he prepares these materials. We look forward any day to receiving the host guarantee form back from Switzerland, which will confirm the placement and give us all the critical contact information to go with these applications. So everything's moving along very well. Let's continue to support all the Blooms. And Terry, thank you for stepping up now as Douglas's program is moved into high gear. Thank you.
Thanks, Woody. Okay, no joyful heart? Okay, I'm thinking like if you really do have a joyful heart and you don't want to talk about it, you should plunk a dollar on the table. I'll be back.
Dave has something to say, if you can believe that, Diane.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, nothing, Dave.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, Dave Kester here. And Kate, I am saddened to hear your news. We are going to miss you at the Mobile Food Pantry. And so you're leaving Saturday. Can you leave about, 2:30, 3 o'clock, right when we get done? Because I'll tell you, we've got a lot of our regulars not going to be able to make it this week because this Saturday because of the district conference. So if you have any inkling of coming out, please do 1:30 this Saturday. For our distribution mobile food pantry. There's sign-up sheets on your table, and I appreciate it if you could sign up, and it should be a great time.
Yes, friends of Jeff and fellow Rotarians, I'm Frank Bledsoe, and my happy dollar is that there's one more person that Kathleen didn't mention going to Ryland, and that was my daughter Victoria, who had a wonderful time there and brought lots of pictures back, so that if, in the interest of full disclosure, if Dennis doesn't tell you about running around in his Speedo there in Whitehorse, then you're going to want to see the pictures of this. So we'll find out in the interest. Here we go.
Jeez, Greg, got a little Speedo. President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, my name is David Young, and I'd like to introduce our guest, Jose Saitone. He's from Venezuela. He's a member of Rotaract, and I'd like to give him a great round of applause.
Yes, fellow Rotarians, I remember that. Yeah. I'm happy about it. Okay. So, I have a happy boss. So it's because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you got to see how the eyes on the Long Lake was going out. And I got to gym this all of the day. It was pretty fun. And it was cold. Yeah. And I have another happy dollar, but that's how happy for me. Really happy for most of you. Because I got a haircut, as you can see. Yeah. So probably everybody's happy because now I can see my face and all stuff, but I don't like it. But
looks good, Jimmy. Looks good.
Well, then you should really like it if girls like it, Jimmy. Thank you. And thank you.
Jeff L. with Journey's Tom Obermeyer. I'm happy to be back from Juneau. I'm glad someone's going back down. It seems like we're all heading back this way. It was a very long session. People think that 90 days is short, but we seem to try to pack 120 into 90, and it's getting more and more difficult. I don't think even my dog recognized me when I came back. But it's nice to be back in Anchorage, and the weather's been fantastic. Glad to see you all.
Speedo. I don't want to see. You should take a little bit of news for the day, so that brain is soft. a little exaggeration. Your vision, well, whatever visions you have, well, President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, the happy news you heard from Woody Angst, the Plume family extends thank you and appreciation to all of you for your thoughts, prayers, cares about Giannis. So he's on the way to recovery. We're happy about that. About the running around in the Speedo, it was awesome to see these 47 young folks. If you wonder where your efforts go towards supporting programs in Rotary, I can assure you it was an excellent program that has developed, and I would like to urge you to keep your efforts towards it because it's worthwhile. Because here we spot our leaders for the future, for tomorrow. I certainly was impressed. Thank you.
And thank you, Ventus, for accompanying those 47 young people. John Dyson has the find free button. John, are you out there?
Back at the grumpy table.
The grumpy table. Well, they should pay a dollar then if they're grumpy back there.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, my name is John Dyson. I am here to talk about baseball season, which is right around the corner. We are a month away. June 8th is the opening day for Glacier Pilots baseball, and we are playing the Anchorage Bucks. So it will be a very good opening day. It's the Glacier Pilots' 40th anniversary this year. They started in 1969, so we have a lot of fun events for that. We are also looking for a few summer parents, if anybody is interested. It's very similar to hosting exchange students. About 7 weeks during the summer, so if anybody is interested, please let us know. We also have a kickoff raffle and banquet on May 31st. It will be at the Kincaid Chalet. Tickets are $100. The tickets also include dinner for two general mission season passes, and a chance to win $10,000 in the raffle. So it's a great deal. If anybody is interested, please see either
don't,
me. Or
don't buy any more because I have one, so I don't want anybody else. I have no more competition.
Thank you. Yeah, if anybody's interested, schedules are on your tables. Please see me or Rena for more information. And we'll tell you throughout the month of more exciting events. So if last week was any indication of the summer we're going to have, we're going to have sun all summer long to make up for last year. So please come out for an inexpensive way to share a good evening with your family and start a new tradition with kids. We also have free youth clinics this year, too. To mention about that, June 15th to the 19th. So any kids, if you want to bring them out, review the clinics, learn about baseball. So, thank you.
Thank you, John. Does anyone else have anything they would like to add? If not, we are going to have Rick Goodfellow introduce our program for today. Rick?
Thank you, President Jeff and fellow Rotarians. A good program it is indeed today. Say hello to Norm Lagasse. Norm is the chief executive of the Aviation Heritage Museum. And he seems like a very dutiful person. I think he's going to stay on topic, but maybe he'll come back and tell us about his career sometime. Before taking over as the executive director of the Aviation Heritage Museum, he served in the United States Air Force. Flying, anybody knows anything about Air Force culture sees the yin and yang here. Include both helicopters and fighters, including the F-15. Over the course of his career, flying 8 different kinds of aircraft. Took over, he says, as the chief executive at the Aviation Heritage Museum on April the 1st, 2005, and apparently everybody's still laughing. So, welcome, Norm Lagasse.
Thank you. Too many years being strapped in, I don't like it anymore. I'm going to turn this off. There we go. Thanks, Rick. There's my quick bio.
Those are the aircraft that I had the privilege and fun of getting strapped into. And it is equally as exciting to fly above 50,000 feet at Mach 2 as it is to fly at less than 50 feet at Mach 0.2. Things happen quickly, and there's no time for boredom. Real quick survey. How many folks know where the Alaska Aviation Museum is? Outstanding. Sherry is really going to be happy. How many have visited in the last 2 years? Very good. How many have visited in the last 6 months? Excellent. The reason I say excellence with only a couple hands is because we have new exhibits in the last 6 months. So there's a whole new adventure out there. We've been putting up a lot of exhibits, going through a lot of images, and I wanted to share a couple with you that we found interesting, or I found interesting. This is my new definition of cold. Yes, they are standing above their waist in frozen water, salt water, launching an airplane. That's cold. And this is rated PG, so it's okay. So now you can answer the question, where do baby airplanes come from? These gentlemen are unloading a Taylor craft, VC-12D. It was delivered here in 1946. It actually came up here courtesy of Mr. Jack Carr. He used to operate Jack Carr service out at Merrill Field. And we had this aircraft on display at the museum. And they also built skis, and we have a set of his skis. In fact, set number 9. And that aircraft is mounted on set number 9 in the Rasmussen hangar in the gallery. A little quick trip in the time machine adventure. July 4th, 1913, Captain James Martin and his wife, Lily, delivered via the Yukon River an aircraft to Fairbanks. They assembled it and then flew it as a vendor exhibit during the July 4th celebration in 1913 over the fairgrounds. They had to stop the horse races for it. The recent session with the Alaska legislature has designated the Aviation Museum as the headquarters for the Centennial of Powered Flight in Alaska, which is coming up in just 4 years. We're looking to do statewide celebrations, events. We're looking at some projects to restore some historic aircraft, building a replica Martin Gage tractor aircraft, tractor biplane, and then some art projects with license plates, Magad paintings, art, all that fun stuff, and even looking at refinishing a couple of historic aircraft, painting them white, and then wrapping centennial flight graphics to celebrate that and then taking them around the state for a traveling exhibit. So more fun to follow. Let's fast forward real quick. The newest gallery we've opened is the Military Expeditions. And we're in the season here for marking some of the anniversaries of important dates in our Alaska aviation history. June 3rd and 4th, 1942, the days the Japanese attacked the Aleutian Islands. And Lieutenant Winfield McIntyre was flying a P-40 aircraft up here on the right. And he was shot down. The engine was shot up. It started on fire. He dove the aircraft to try to put the fire out. Was not successful, but he still managed to land it safely enough for him to get out and walk away. Pretty amazing. His family recently sent his uniforms to us, so we will be setting up an exhibit. And we have his aircraft, the remnants of his aircraft, out at the Aviation Museum. And we have some volunteers restoring that. Parts of it, at least, so we can put it on exhibit. The other activity that occurred on that day was Flight Petty Officer Koga was flying for the Imperial Japanese Navy and during the attack on Dutch Harbor and managed to get his aircraft crippled in the fight and tried to land on the island thinking it was a field. In fact, it was tundra, and had his landing gear down. The aircraft touched down, the gear stuck in, flipped the airplane over, and he was killed. But the aircraft itself was actually pretty intact. So then 2 months later, an air crew member in a PBY, the Catalina, was in the rear bubble, very airsick, looking down outside the bubble, very airsick, and saw that airplane upside down. So the crew marked the position. They sent somebody out there, and sure enough, we captured an intact Zero, the first one in World War II. Took it immediately to China Lake, did exploitation on it, got it flying again, flew it against all of the things that we had at the time, and actually developed the tactics and the techniques for our pilots to survive aerial combat with the Zero. That happened in Alaska. Fast forward a little more, August 4th, 1942, the Aleutians, the battle was on, the weather was terrible, and the fighters were well equipped for maneuverability and firepower, but they had no radars in those days. And typically, fighters escorted bombers to protect them. Colonel Erickson figured out if we used the radar-equipped bombers, they could find the Japanese attackers and vector the fighters into them, and that's exactly what they did with the pea-shooter patrols. First time it was done, and they figured it out of the Aleutians in the middle of that battle. And on that day, the bomber flushed out three Mavis, their HK-6 Mavis bombers, found them, vectored the fighters to them. The bombers, there was a formation of three, flowed or actually led by Captain Ito from the Japanese Imperial Navy. And he spotted the two lightnings at the last second, made a quick call, and then started evasive maneuvers with his aircraft, dove into the clouds. His two wingmen didn't have enough time to react. And Lieutenant Stan Long and Lieutenant Ken Ambrose scored the first aerial victories in P-38s in World War II. Here in the Aleutians. This is one of my favorites. In the late November and December of 1942, the Battle of the Aleutians is at full bore. The folks were trying to bomb Kiska and Attu, and the weather was not cooperating. So every day, the weather report would go to the Pentagon. Mission canceled due to weather, day after day. The folks in the five-sided wind tunnel, affectionately known as the Pentagon, said, the weather can't be that bad. So, the Inspector General, two-star General Lynn, was visiting. He got on the B-24 that was piloted by Lieutenant John Anderson, and they went out to the target area as the weather ship. Well, they got over the target, and the weather was bad. Couldn't see anything. So they flew back. Well, while they were gone, the weather also got bad at Adak and Umnak. No place to land. So they orbited north of the islands until they ran out of fuel. Now, the general was on board this aircraft. The two lieutenants finally said, we have no option, we're going to have to ditch. So they spiral down through the clouds. They break out just above the north end of Bashevan Bay on Atka Island, and there was land. So they pulled the landing gear up, and they laid it down on the tundra. This is the aircraft right here. You can see a bit of a slide mark. The only injury in this ditching or this crash landing was the general. He was standing underneath the ball turret, right in the middle of the wing, and a component of the turret broke off, and hit him in the shoulder blade, and broke the shoulder blade. They spent two lovely days out there because the weather was bad. And to pour some salt in the wound, the Navy came and got them. There were no more discussions from the five-sided wind tunnel about bad weather in Alaska. Another slip forward, May 11th, 1943. The Battle of Attu. At 1 a.m., the Nautilus and the Narwhal submarines surfaced with Captain Willoughby and 244 of his scouts. And they inflated their rubber rafts. They got into the water and paddled themselves to shore and started the retake of Attu Island. It was 27 degrees, and they were at the tail end of a storm. So they had a real good time paddling from the submarine to shore. The captains of both submarines said, if an enemy ship is spotted on the horizon, regardless of what's happening on the deck, we're disappearing. So those guys are pretty brave souls. The Essex class, so the escort class, Nassau, the only carrier that was operating during the Battle of Attu, left San Diego with 26 Wildcats on board. After the Battle of Attu, it sailed back with 13. Okay, let's get to present. We have the Junior Bush Pilot Discovery Zone, which includes a 727 simulator cockpit from Northern Air Cargo. It includes the Yellow Buzzer, which is a kids' interactive airplane that the Alaska Creative Woodworkers Association volunteers have helped us build over the last 2 years. Boeing just informed me that they have two F-15 cockpits in St. Louis that will be on their way up here soon. And we have another flight simulator that we use for our education programs and just for the visitors to enjoy. They can fly pretty much anything that we've got in the museum's fleet, and we're limited to about 1,500 aircraft, so there are some good strengths. These are some future exhibits we're looking to do. We and Northern Consolidated Airlines, we've had a lot of questions from visitors about Wally Post and Will Rogers. And Wally Post actually had a couple of flights up here, some record flights. His first one was solo in the Winnie Mae, which crashed at flat. They repaired it, and then he continued on his journey. And then they were killed, Wally Post and Will Rogers were killed up in their barrel in a Lockheed Orion. So folks want to know, where is Barrel? How far is that from here? So we'll put an exhibit together and kind of help them figure out where that is. We also want to do an exhibit on Alaska's Native Alaskan pilots and the Aleutian campaign. We have a lot of really good artifacts from the Japanese operations in the Aleutian, so we're getting ready to put an exhibit together on that. And my marketing director will skin me alive if I have a captive audience and don't talk about the museum a little bit. We are a private nonprofit 501c3, so all donations are tax deductible. We are about to enter our summer hours, 7 days a week from 9 to 5. We have memberships available. In the Lakewood and Merrill Field, if someone's got an aircraft that they tie down at either location, they can get an annual membership for $25. And last but not least, it is a great place to have a party. The bookings at the museum are escalating. So if you want something around the holidays, get your bids in early. From a sit-down perspective in this configuration, we can put about 150 people, and you can bring your own caterer, which a lot of folks find a pleasant surprise. And we've had up to 500 people between the five buildings out at the museum. So you can hold a pretty good party out there. And questions? Yes. We're actually going to open it up. We have a small thing called mold that we have to cleanse from it. And as soon as we get that complete, We're actually going to look at to set it up so folks can walk through it, the cockpit and the cabinet. And it will also be another venue for folks to do parties in the 737. We've had a lot of requests. When's it going to be open? When can we throw a party in there? So that is our goal, is to open it up and configure it for socials, for education program, and just for general public admission to go through it and see the combi operation. We do. It's www.alaskaairmuseum.org, all spelled out, .org. We are working at coordination right now, and that's part of this effort with the Centennial Flight, is organizing the activities and the events and celebrations with the other entities that are out there. Wildcats were Navy fighter planes from World War II. If you look at the losses, four of the losses were direct combat, and actually in the pilots were supporting the operations in a place called Massacre Bay on Attu Island, and the weather was very poor, and they ended up trapped inside the bay with pretty heavy anti-aircraft artillery, and didn't make it out. Several of the aircraft were actually lost due to the weather once they were on station northwest of Attu, and four of the aircraft were lost. On their way up, they were doing what they call spin-up training, where they were practicing their takeoff and landings on the carrier deck, and four of the aircraft were actually lost in that on their way to the operation. The Japanese and the American and Canadian forces losses, 75% of the losses were due to the environment, not combat, on both sides. If you look at the numbers, within a few percentage points of each other, 75% were not combat. It's a tough place to fly. I can neither confirm. Now, there has been an effort to do that, and we're actually working with the Base History Office. The P-38 is in a memorial monument set up over at the base to General McLeod, and he was actually a very big supporter of that. Project Lightning is what it was known as, to recover it and restore it. We are looking at some options to include finding a company. There are companies out there that build fiberglass replicas, and actually looking at putting a fiberglass replica there because it's outside all the time, and the environment just beats it up. I mean, that's a G model P-38, which there are very, very few of, and it would really be better to have that in a protected environment. So if we can find a way to substitute a fiberglass bird in that monument, then we would certainly welcome putting it on exhibit above the Military Expeditions Gallery. Thank you, Norm.
And to help you with this summer, here is some music to listen to. Summer wasn't last week. It will be coming next week again, too. So just hang in there. Let's see. How about a drawing? Yeah. Carolyn Jones, good to see you back. How have your world travels been? Russia was good? Okay. You're going to go to the orphanage. And Larry Baker, good to see you back. How are the Hawaiian Islands? Any stamps in your passport?
welcome to the winningest Rotarian raffle ever. Put fear in your heart every week. And in honor of Jimmy's haircut, he's got some tickets as well. Derek, one of those blue tickets. Great. 260. Oh, come on. You have to tell the truth.
It's Jimmy.
All right. All right, Jimmy. Maybe you'll win some more money to get the other half of your haircut. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Are you ready? There you go. Okay, we have...
I think it's a W.
It's a W. Would you rather it be an M? It's an F.
Good job, Jimmy.
I don't think he wants the other half of that haircut.
I don't think he does. Okay, it rolls over. Thank you.
All right. Susan Bunker, real quick, are you covered for the four-way test next Tuesday? Okay, great. Good job. Does anyone else have anything else for the good of the order? Social committee meeting right here with Dave Kester. That's it. Thank you all, and remember, all the world needs to be a better place is more. Thank you. This way.